Well, between 1911 and 1926, the Protestant population drops from a figure of about 10% of the population of 26 counties down to 7%. Now, the Church of Ireland population itself is, of course, is just part of that, but their numbers drop from 250,000 to 164,000. That's a decline of 34%.
Now, what is the picture that emerged from the studies that you've done of synod papers?
The picture that emerges is that there are a range of reasons for this. There are a number of factors which all put together explain this. Now, the first factor is, of course, severe losses during the First World War. That was one thing. A second thing was the figures of 1911 perhaps are a little artificially high because they include numbers of British Army personnel. They're there in the 1911 census, and of course they've gone by 1926. But then there are other factors. People left because they didn't like the new arrangements. Some people transferred, civil servants transferred to the north. But as well as that, what these reports show is a lot of people were forced out. A lot of people left under threat and a threat to life and property. And this was a factor that was significant.
Given the size of the Protestant population that there was at the time, a lot of people were murdered, weren't they?
Well, the main threat is... It's not correct. A lot were not murdered. There were a significant number murdered. But what was more important was there were others who were threatened, whose homes were burnt. Large numbers of houses were destroyed and people were driven away. Now, this happens in a number of stages and for different reasons. So during the War of Independence, some houses in Cork and places were targeted because they were seen as occupied by people who were pro-British. They're attacked for that reason. But once the War of Independence is over, other factors come into play. So in early 1922, in the lawlessness and anarchy that happens in the first half of the year,
when the Royal Ulster or the Royal Irish Constabulary is disbanded,
there is no
the
law.
Army is
yes,
gone.
There's no law and order,
and the Garda Síochána are not there yet.
Yes, that is correct. There is lawlessness in many parts of the country. Now, what makes it worse is there's a sectarianism, and it's partly a response to sectarianism in the north, where Catholics have been expelled from the shipyards. There have been attacks on people like the McMahon family. And so there is a southern sectarian response in seeing things like the Dunmanway murders and also other families.
The Dunmanway situation, there were 13, was it, Protestants killed?
It can be seen in the Dunmanway situation where there were some 13 Protestants killed. I think it's in May 1922. Now, after that, in the succeeding period, again, we see other evidence of sectarianism. When the Civil War starts, new factors come into play, and many homes of Protestants are attacked because anti-treaty forces are creating anarchy and destroying homes and houses as part of that. Now, a number of these people then become senators, a number of Protestants become senators, and their homes are deliberately targeted by anti-treaty forces.
So they're invited into... become part of the government fabric by the new Free State.
Yes. The new Free State government in late 1922 sets up the Senate, and the government deliberately invites in people from the former Union for the Protestant Community. It's an attempt to create reconciliation between the communities. But these people who accept these nominations, like W.B. Yeats and others, many of them become targets for anti-treaty forces, and their houses are deliberately burnt down because of that. So it's a range of things, it's a host of things that change over a period of time that are important for this. The end result, which is reflected in the speeches by the bishops at these synods, is that considerable numbers of their congregations have left. They've either been driven out or for fear they have gone. So this is a significant fact. I must emphasise, of course, that the majority stay on. Church of Ireland bishops declare their support for the new state, for the new government. They are quick to do that. They were former unionists, but now they accept the new arrangements and they support them. And the majority of people are determined and happy and stay on and do work this new state and government.
Really, to what extent would you say that these murders, these outrages, were the result of sectarianism, and to what extent is it just simply a breakdown of law and order?
Well, it certainly was a breakdown in law and order, but it was more than that. Now, to some extent, like in the War of Independence, people's homes were targeted because they were loyalists. But an awful lot of the people, these were Protestants, so indirectly it was an attack on that community. When, however, you get to 1922, there's an added fact. Because of tit-for-tat retaliation in relation to the North, we do find a nasty sectarianism that comes into play. And the Department of Justice papers in the National Archive contain a large, considerable number of letters and correspondence in relation to these sectarian attacks. Now, I have to say, on the one hand, there were these sectarian attacks. On the other hand, I also have to say that we have denunciation of such attacks by both the government and by a number of Catholic bishops who come out and acknowledge such things have been going on, and they strongly speak against it. So that must be said. There is this evidence of sectarianism, but at the same time we must note that Catholic bishops, several of them specifically, come out and condemn this, what has happened.
Until quite recently there's been very little study and very little published about attacks and intimidation and murders of Protestants during the period of the War of Independence and the Civil War. Why do you think that is, that there just hasn't been this study, that it just hasn't been covered? Now, 90 years on from these events.
Well, I think there are two sides to it. Within the Church of Ireland community, within the Protestant community, there was a belief the best thing to do was to forgive and forget. What's the point of bringing these things up? We've got to move on. There's no point in going over it. And then within Republican circles, what happened really was quite contrary to original Republican principles of non-sectarianism, treating all as equal. And so they preferred not to acknowledge this and just deny it ever happened. So you have denial really on all fronts. Now, with our new peace process, people are willing to look afresh at some of these things, and I think we're not in a position to do that.